Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, whenever you're listening. This is Davisville on KDRTLP 95.7 FM in Davis, California. You can find us online anytime at kdrt.org/Davisville. I'm Bill Buchanan. I'm your host. Thank you for tuning in. Well, for me, the Crest Theater on K Street in downtown Sacramento has one of the region's grandest interiors. The inside, which has room for about 975 people, has the attractions of a streamlined modern movie palace with gold leaf, decorative wall lighting, high ceilings, sloped seating. The building it's in dates to 1911, but the current look dates to the 1940s, when the previous theater at that location, the Hippodrome, was rebuilt and renamed as the Crest. The Crest is in Sacramento, but there's a Davis connection. Its owner, Bob Emmerich, earned 3 degrees from the University of California, Davis, culminating with a doctorate in 1999. He's been a water treatment engineer by trade. He bought the Crest in 2011. He resumed actively managing it in summer 2025, and he's our guest today to talk about his plans for this regional entertainment landmark. Bob, thanks for joining us today.
Well, thank you.
You know, it's one thing to admire a place like the Crest, to, you know, go see a show there, something else entirely to have the responsibility of owning it. What made you want to buy this big old theater nearly 15 years ago?
Oh, back then I had an engineering firm, Ecologic Engineering. It was right after or part of that 2007 recession where housing was being decimated and there were no construction projects. And as a result, there was no work for engineers. So it ultimately ended up with the sale of my firm to Stantec. And once I sold the firm to Stantec, I was a single dad. And my daughter was about probably 12 at the time. And just because of my knowledge base in engineering, they wanted me to travel the world. And where in the past I had been a Sacramento area engineer, now they wanted me to be an international engineer. And I didn't really know how to do that and raise a daughter at the same time. So I was reading the Sacramento Bee and I saw the Tower Theater was for sale. The Tower Theater is a different theater entirely. Obviously, it's over there on Broadway. And it just dawned on me that, hey, if I actually ran a theater, then I wouldn't have to travel the world. I'd have a flexible schedule and I could raise my daughter the way I wanted to raise her. So I looked into buying the tower and I was contacted by others saying, hey, if you're interested in a theater, we'd really like you to consider the Crest Theater. It had recently been restored by the city of Sacramento. It was owned by the Briggs Family Trust, which is really the McClatchy family of the Sacramento Bee. They were looking for a buyer. I toured it and figured this is something that I could work with. And so I decided to buy the theater in addition to a lot of other space surrounding the theater. I actually own about a quarter of that city block and try to make something of my life where I wasn't traveling the world.
You know, that does sound like quite a change from engineering to theater owner.
It's really not. I know it sounds it, but I was also working as an expert witness in legal cases. I was doing a little bit of engineering on the side. I was teaching classes. And so I didn't leave engineering entirely. And to run a 100-year-old theater, what's lost on many people is even though it was restored in the 90s, all of the facilities in the theater were built in the 40s. When they did the remodel into the Crest Theater, there's a ventilation system. For instance, back then you could smoke indoors. So there's a ventilation system for removing smoke, the grand drape, the HVAC system, everything was from the 40s. And there's been an awful lot of technology changes since the 40s, obviously. So you don't just buy parts off the shelf. It took an awful lot of engineering expertise to keep that thing going. I honestly don't know how you could bring a theater back to life and not have some degree of an engineering background or at least access to an engineer to kind of guide you in certain areas.
Yeah. Well, you know, you raise an interesting point. A building like that relies on its, we call it infrastructure now, the guts of the building to work. I mean, it's going to be no fun to see a movie there if the HVAC isn't working or if the chairs are falling apart.
And it was even worse than that. The HVAC system that was in there from the 40s, I can't remember the exact number, but as I was going through all of the mechanical systems, that was using a Freon-based HVAC system, and it was hundreds of pounds of Freon in the system, which is a banned substance now. And just, again, the engineer in me was, if I get a leak and that freon gets pumped into the theater, basically you could kill 1,000 people like that. So that one of the first things I did was completely pull that system out and put in a modern system where any risk of failure is non-existent. The system can stop working, can stop cooling, but there's no risk to the public there. And that's what a lot of people miss, is that the things that were in these buildings 100 years ago, not all of them are safe today. And so I had to go through there and modernize to make sure that these buildings, that building was safe.
Well, from an audience perspective, the Crest is primarily a place to see movies and concerts, right? That's what it's been offered, and that's what it's going to continue.
We do movies, we do concerts, film festivals. I mean, if it can be done on a screen or a stage, we'll do it. We do graduation ceremonies, naturalization ceremonies, parties, weddings, you name it.
So you do it as like a public space too. I mean, someone doesn't have to have a concert there. They can just rent the space if
Right
they want.
now, we're primarily community space. We do do concerts, we do do music events. The industry is shifting, it is evolving. Live entertainment is not the draw that it once was before COVID. And so we have to adapt like everybody else. And community events are a very, very important part of our business model.
Now, I understand your daughter, you're talking about being a parent. Your daughter, Ellie, wants to help run the theater. And if I understand correctly, she's just finishing up a master's at UC Los Angeles this December, December 2025.
Yeah, she wrapped it up in December 9th.
And she wants to bring in events that would help bring younger crowds to the Crest. What would that look like?
I'll tell you, I'm not a young guy anymore, and the whole entertainment world is shifting. We did operate the venue from 2014 to 2019, and back then it was very, very heavy live music. What we're finding is that those that enjoy true live music are getting older and don't go out as often as they did. And so then it turned to a shift to comedy. Comedy is very, very popular. And then part of that shifting to comedy, the next level are things like podcasts. We're finding that the podcasts are the new television that we had when we were kids. People know about these podcasters and they want to meet them and see them on stage. And so when you say, how do we evolve and what does my daughter want to see? To be honest, you really ought to talk to her about that, because I'm finding that the industry is changing and we're having to change with it.
Yeah. Well, of course, that's part of the challenge of running a business, right? Is, I mean, each era that owns it doesn't have to know what will succeed in the next era. They just have to be able to hand it off, if nothing else.
That's exactly right.
Which you're doing with your daughter, and it has happened before at that location because it's been there 100 and some years.
Yeah, no, it's constantly one operator after another. It was back in what, the 70s and 80s, it was a punk rock venue. It's been a true legitimate movie house. Like I stated before, it was a music venue, and now it's slowly evolving more into maybe even a comic venue. So, yeah, as long as it can be done on a screen and a stage, and we don't lose the desire to go out and see things with our family and our friends in public, there'll be a role for the Crest.
One of my most favorite moments that's ever happened in a theater happened at the Crest. Thanks partly because it has both a stage and a screen. I'll explain this. In 1987, I saw Cab Calloway perform there. A singer going all the way back to the 20s, band leader, very accomplished, very famous guy. And he was nearly 80 when I saw him at the Crest. Well, as part of the performance, he showed on the Crest screen the 1933 Betty Boop cartoon, in which he sings the song St. James Infirmary. The animation is just stunning by itself. I find it's kind of spooky and surreal. It's black and white. Anyway, after the cartoon ended, he sang the song live. I loved that mix of the old and the new, the continuity, even perhaps the bravery of him at 80 singing right after following up himself singing that song at 25 or 26. Point is, you can't stage something like that in a typical mall theater, certainly not while having the whole performance framed by that large historic room. That's part of the magic of a place like the Crest, isn't it?
Oh, you're absolutely right. And we've got other shows even today that are very similar to that. We'll take old black and white movies. There's various production companies that do this. They come up the soundtrack for these movies and we bring in a live band. And so we play the soundtrack to these black and white silent films with a live band. That's very fun. That's really popular. So yeah, it's very similar to what you just described.
Are there any features about the Crest that you find particularly interesting or surprising? The origins of that building date to vaudeville. You know, a lot of life has been lived inside those walls. And I'm wondering if you've come across anything in the years that you've owned it that you just thought, this is just cool.
Well, if you're sitting there in the audience and you're looking at the grand drape on the right side and the left side, you can't really see it from the audience. But if you move the drape across, you can get to these ladders. And with the ladders, you go up behind the wall and you can to get to the mechanical stuff that lifts the drapes or moves the drapes or operates the lights or whatnot. Well, there's an awful lot of graffiti on the wall from those vaudeville days. So I find that to be very interesting. I've taken pictures of that on occasion. We have Kurt Cobain's footprints on the wall in the basement of the theater. That's pretty interesting. You can't authenticate them. They're just Converse high top footprints, but those that know were there when he threw them on the wall, and they have never been taken down.
Yeah, so Nirvana played there, right? I mean, you know that happened, and you so
Yeah.
you know he was there in the theater.
Oh, not only do I know he was there, but people saw him put his foot on the wall. So I've been told very, very clearly they can't be authenticated, but they're his.
You know, I would think that the cost, the challenge of running a place that large. I mean, you've got all the challenges of that movie theaters have. You know, we all look at our small screens, view video on demand, things like that. It's competition. You know, you've got a big room there that, you
Yeah.
know, to make pay. And I've heard you saying, you know, you're going to be trying different things. Your daughter wants to try different things and all that. But I mean, is it possible to still run this as a profit business in 2025, 2026?
Yeah, I think it is, but you have to look at the niche markets, I believe. I think that ethnic programming is far too underrepresented in Sacramento, Bollywood, for instance. So bringing in entertainment that's not offered at other venues would give us a niche following that could really, really help the Crest. The community events, I mean, they aren't glamorous, for instance, but you know, your good old-fashioned high school graduation ceremonies, those are the people that come to the theater, they graduated, they have a special place in their heart for the theater, and they come back for other events. That's worked well. We're even, like I stated, we're getting some wedding ceremonies now. That works. So yeah, there's still an awful lot of programming that can be done that's not offered anywhere else. And as a result, I think that's going to keep the Crest vibrant for decades to come.
To a quick station ID, we are talking with Bob Emmerich. He is the owner, currently the manager of the Crest Theater in downtown Sacramento. That's one of the grand old movie palaces of the area. I'm Bill Buchanan. This is Davis Phil, KDRT, 95.7 FM, KDRT.org online. All right. Of course, I have a Davis angle on this show. How important is Davis to the Crest market? I mean, I would think you would draw regionally. Those concerts, things you're talking about would draw from over here.
It very much is. I don't have the exact number to quote you, but every time you buy a concert ticket or a movie ticket online, the system collects your email address and your location because you're buying off with your credit card. So we have a list. The purchasers for the theater, they go across the United States. It's actually quite surprising that people from New York are buying tickets to shows in Sacramento, but they do. So the original list of email list was about 150, 160,000 long. We pared it down to extending from Bakersfield roughly to Reading, and that brought us to 80,000 people. And of that 80,000, the Davis aspect of that list is quite long. And so, like I stated, I wish I had looked at the number before this conversation, but you can tell that Davis is absolutely key to keeping the Crest Theater alive because of the number of patrons from Davis.
I mean, Davis itself doesn't have, it's got the Crest Theater, which I like quite a lot in downtown. But, you know, the town was never big enough to have a place like the Crest. And so I would think it would be a regional draw.
Well, you have Mondavi.
We do have the Mondavi, which is a newer, and that's a wonderful venue.
Oh, absolutely.
I suppose a place like that is kind of the descendant of the Movie Palace, except now it's, you know, live venue primarily. I've had a sense from the conversation what does well at the Crest and what doesn't. But, you know, is there anything else? Like concerts, sounds like they aren't the draw that they were. Movies, I imagine, aren't the draw that they were.
Movies are actually quite the draw, and
Okay.
it's and the concerts are too. I mean, I don't want to leave that impression. We did like Leonid and Friends, that's a Chicago tribute band, complete sold out, not a single seat left in the house. I mean, just since November, we've probably had three 100% sold out music shows. But with movies, what we're doing is we're changing the business model that we are competing with Netflix. We are competing with we can't show new films. So new films require what's called a DCP compliant projector. And that projector, you don't have film, you don't have Blu-rays, you don't have DVDs. You get a signal from the movie house, the distributors, and you pick what time of the day you want. They only send a signal, it goes through encryption. You show it the once and then it's gone, so that you don't have any hard recording of it. And that's how the new movies are dealt with. And so we don't have that type of projector. We're not even close to being able to afford it. That's well over $100,000 to $200,000 projector.
So that's a digital projection. It sounds like streaming through a theater, basically, right? I
Yeah,
mean,
and we can't do that. So our films have to be available either on in a digital platform on the internet, not through the encryption, through a DVD or through a Blu-ray or through some type of a digital file that doesn't require this encryption. But again, anyone could, like we have the Muppet Christmas Carol, for instance, that's coming up. I think it's next week. I'm sure all of your listeners have seen that movie 10 times a piece, and you can get it online for a couple bucks, I'm sure. So what we do is we show these movies for $2 on Tuesdays, $2 Tuesdays, and we'll actually sell 850 tickets for a movie like that. We've sold out The Muppet Christmas Carol. There was another Christmas movie just recently. It escapes me at the moment. Sold out. We did the trilogy movies and completely sold out. And what's happening is that people want to see these movies with their friends, with people that also like the movie, that they know what the next line is. This is not the type of movie where, hey, everyone, shh, be quiet. We're watching a movie. It's a party. People like to watch the movie with people that other people that like the same movie that know it. They laugh, they sing, they have a good time. We have tacos for, I think they're $3, Chana's Tacos. And the younger people that, money's tighter, I get calls all the time. Hey, thanks for giving us something affordable to do that's fun. You can go to a movie for $2, you can get a couple tacos for $3 a piece, I think they are now. And you can have a fun evening for not a lot of money.
So I'm getting a sense from this conversation that, you're selling a real wide range of experiences. That's kind of communal and, it's like you're a big living room in a way.
That's it.
And I was taken with the idea earlier, maybe because I'm doing a radio show and a lot of people think of this really as a podcast of podcasters on stage in front of an audience interacting or something like that.
Yeah.
And of course the movies. Sounds like there's a lot of life in all those, a lot of
There's a,
potential life in all those activities.
there's, there is an awful lot of potential life, and that's what I'm saying, that these aren't the types of activities that you would see at a normal movie theater. This is something that you can only get at the Crest. I mean, we're 850 seats for a movie, 950 seats for a concert. The reason there's 100 less seats is I have concert speakers up there and they block the screen. So we don't sell as many tickets for a movie as we do a live show. But these are events you can't do anywhere else and get the same experience. I mean, you could try, but watching Muppet Christmas Carol on your home big screen, yeah, it's comfortable, it's nice, it's not as fun.
The big change in downtown Sacramento the last few years has been the arrival of the Kings Arena.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering how much does that help the Crest? I mean, I would think it draws more people downtown. I will say, as someone, when I go to downtown Sacramento sometimes, if there's an event at the arena that I'm not going to, it's kind of a disincentive because I don't want to deal with that crowd. But what do you see at the Crest? I mean, is that net benefit to have the arena there? Is that bringing more life, more customers?
It's a net benefit from the standpoint that the old K Street Mall was a problem. It wasn't well attended. It brought blight to downtown Sacramento. So the arena erased an awful lot of that blight. And then once the arena was established, now there are a lot of these other older buildings that are basically just empty and used as drug houses, for instance. They're being torn down and they're building apartments or boutique hotels or whatever. And so downtown is shifting from something that didn't feel safe before to something that it feels more and more safe every day.
Yeah, I do think that's part of the problem downtown Sacramento still has. I mean, I have friends of mine who are just kind of reluctant to be down there after dark. It's not to say that there's a crime problem per se, but you can get used to not being in that environment if you live out here in a place like Davis, out in the suburbs.
Yeah.
And so it can seem like, I don't know if I want to go to there. But is that much of effect on you?
Hey, we've downtown has been downtown for as long as I can remember. So I don't remember downtown as being anything other than what it is. And right now it's getting better than it's been. I live in an apartment over Ella's restaurant. It's you kind of feel like you're in Chicago. Tall ceilings, a lot of glass, very nice. So there's aspects of Sacramento that are getting better. You go there on a Friday and Saturday night, it's busy. I mean, it looks like a party out there. You'll see every aspect of society. Sacramento looks like it's wall-to-wall people, and it's a younger crowd. But to keep these venues alive, you kind of need a younger crowd. They need to see that there's entertainment that works for them. So we're not a nightclub, we're not a bar, but we do serve alcohol and we do have live music. And if we can get the programming right, we fit in as well with these businesses as anybody.
COVID certainly wasn't good for the theater. It wasn't good for anything that relied on public audience. I read the Capital Public Radio story about the Crest that Odin Rasko wrote in September, where he talked with a former manager of the theater who said that crowd-wise, it never fully came back. We can see through our ticket sales that prior to COVID, we drew a lot from the east of Sacramento, and that kind of stopped after COVID. Maybe it's the entertainment venues that open up the casinos. Maybe they're going elsewhere for entertainment. Maybe, a lot of people just don't want to come downtown. What do you think about that comment? I mean, have you guys
To
recovered from COVID?
me, I think that was a failure to keep up with modern entertainment needs, to be honest. I mean, I didn't work in their business model. I'm sure, I mean, if you're just trying to show live music, yeah, we didn't recover after COVID. The live music industry is not the same as it was before COVID. But to a large degree, that's where I'm saying is that you need to constantly adapt. And I've been operating the venue since May, and then we had no events. I mean, the summertime, it was zero. And I've been spending a lot of my own money keeping the venue alive and trying to get it built. We had a very nice November. We're going to have a very nice December. And my calendar is largely booked. The weekends are booked for January and February. And I've probably got four events, five events a week coming March, April, and May. You have to hustle. You have to adapt. You have to find entertainment for the venue. You can't expect that it's just going to find you. So I don't know. I mean, yeah, it's different now, but I'm not saying it's bad. It just means you have to work.
So you're sounding pretty optimistic for the Crest.
Oh, absolutely. I'm optimistic. It's actually, so here's the funny thing. This is a funny story I like to tell. When my daughter was looking for a major to do in college, she said she wanted to be a business major. And I didn't have any, I mean, I'm an engineer and her mom was a school teacher. So where did you come up with business? So I said, hey, that's an admirable degree, but where did you come up with that? And she goes, well, you do a lot of business stuff and you don't look like you work that hard. And I was like, okay, fine, Ellie. So she went to school, and last summer she worked for me at the Crest. And to work the Crest, I mean, you get there at 8 o'clock in the morning, and sometimes we're not out of there till 1 a.m. You're working box office, you're bringing in supplies, you're fixing things that are breaking. Then you have a load in for a show. Then you're operating the show. Then you're cleaning up after the show, and you finally come out after about 1 a.m. Well, my daughter, I had her, she was working 7 days a week there for a while, as was I. And she goes, "Dad, I'm tired. We haven't had a day off in a very long time." And I said, "Ellie, you wanted to be a business major. It's a much different animal owning the business than working for the business. This is what owning the business is like. You're on call 24 hours a day. You better get used to it."
But she still wants to do it, right? She still wants to.
She still wants to do it. You know, it's one of these things. The theater brings people with passion. And imagine going to a party every day of the week. If you're the type of person that likes that, the Crest is the best job ever. You meet 1,000 new people every night. They're all excited to be there. We're enjoying the events of the night, that you've got a group of friends that you're working with to keep the event going, you know, the production crew and the sound and the lights and the concessions, and you all are working together to put something really cool together. And then when you're done, you wrapped up and you're getting ready for tomorrow. And that's fun. It's hard work, but it's fun work.
So we're getting very near the end, but I get a sense you're gonna stay connected with the Crest, you and your daughter, your family.
Yeah,
Could be.
I put the theater on the market last year to sell. Well, not actually. Yeah, so I right during COVID, before COVID in 2019, it was fully rented up. We had a full calendar of events. It was running beautifully. So there was nothing for me to do. Well, hey, I'll go on to the next project. So I was going to, but then COVID shut it down. And so then we restarted it up again. And I thought things were fine. And so I was going to sell it. And when I put it on the market to go find another project to work on, my daughter said, "Well, Dad, I'm a little disappointed that you did that." And I said, "Why is that?" She said, "I kind of thought that I'd be running the theater," which she and I had never had that conversation before. So I said, "Well, I had no idea that's what you wanted to do. So come on over here this summer and let's try to run it." And so the theater is not on the market. I have no interest in putting it back on the market. And we're having a great time operating it, and we're going to see how that goes.
Well, it sounds like Crest is good for at least a few more runs around the calendar, you know,
Oh yeah.
110 years and counting.
Well, we just rebuilt the HVAC system again. When I returned in May, it was all broken. So we fixed the HVAC again. The grand drape was all broken, so we restrung it and got that working again. We painted the inside, we steam cleaned the carpets, we've fixed all of the plumbing lines. The theater is getting its oh, and right now, as we speak, is putting in a new projector, a new 4K laser-based projector system. So we're putting in all of the facilities so that the theater has another good run left in her.
Well, thank you, Bob, for talking with us about the Crest.
Well, thank you for asking.
We've been talking with Bob Emmerich, the owner and manager of the Crest Theater. That's the big old movie palace, 900 seats, 850 seats or so in downtown Sacramento. I'm Bill Buchanan. This is Davisville, KDRT, 95.7 FM, Davis, California, KDRT.org online. Thank you for listening.